Bless us, Father, in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for your love, Father. As the world turns, O Lord, and as it revolves around the sun, days, weeks, and years, and centuries, lives continue, O Lord, until the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We know, Father, time is just an instrument in thy hand to bring about your will and your purpose, Father. A people for yourself, a people who will be your family. Father, we know the world is so sick. There's so much trouble in the world today now. It will continue and it will continue until the Lord Jesus returns. And we know, Lord, this thing that's going on will be cut short for the sake of your people. But while we are yet here, Father, and in the short space of time, the trouble and tribulations and persecutions and sorrows and pain, we are just part of the process of life in your creation. For the rain fall upon the just and the unjust, O Lord. But what we have, the breath, O Lord, in our nostrils every day, that we could breathe, Lord, and our heart continue to beat. We want to thank you, Father, for this life. Though, Father, it's a short life, filled with sorrow and woes and whatever, for your word have said that which all is born of woman, the many woes in the life. But Father, let us lift up our head unto heaven, unto Mount Zion, for where cometh our help. And knowing that our way we live in, our redemption is soon to come. We thank you, Lord. So while we are still yet here, Father, let us rejoice in thy presence, and knowing that all things, O Lord, has a purpose in life. For all things works together for them to love thee. But you will strengthen us, Father, in this journey. We pray that, Lord, you will grant us that grace. For you have promised us that you will be with us to the end of the world. So we commit this time to you right now, Father, as approach thy word that you blessed. The hearing, O Lord, and the anointing of the lips. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Be seated. All right, last week we left off in Acts chapter 3. I want to quickly finish off this part and then go on to chapter 4. Now, I emphasized last week showing you the acts of the Holy Spirit in the apostles. Not in the church. The act of the Holy Spirit in the apostles, that's the work that he was doing. To build up a church. To lay a foundation to the apostles. And this was the beginning. And you know, in the beginning of things, when God do something, he has to catch the attentions of the people. You may remember that when Brother Bam came, you know, he was given two signs, the first two signs. The first was that he was able to hold a person's hand and reduce the affliction or the disease that is in the person. Right. Then later on, he went over to the second sign, where he no longer hold the hands of the person. What God did him was revealing the secrets of man's heart. Do you remember that? You see? And so, because when you talk about how God moved in the early 20th century, when He poured out the Holy Spirit, people spoke in tongues and they went out there and began to pray for the sick and miracles happened and so on. But God called this man and through him called their attention to the world. Because God wanted to bring about the importance of His Word to keep out of tradition, to come back to His Word. And so God used William Branham in such a strong and mighty way that caught the attention of the people, and so they have to sit down and hear. But as time passed by, the greatness of all those miracles that you see in Brother Branham's campaign in the early years began to taper off. Because God has to move from that realm to what? That's why Brother Branham said the third pool that he had, or the third sign of the third pool, is the speaking of the word. That's why he stood behind his pulpit. He said, this is why I'm going to reveal what God gave to me. The word, the truth. Out there evangelistic field or crusade, he don't preach doctrine. He said, that's why in his own church, that's why he'll preach his doctrine. The doctrine that God gave him, the truth. So now, when the same thing, if you look and understand that, you should go back to the beginning of the church. The only way that God catch the attention of people is to bring them back to the Word. But it's not just about salvation in Jesus Christ. It's more than that. God has more than just give you salvation. You know, a lot of people, as I said, everyone wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. A lot of people want to go to heaven, but they don't want to die to the things of the world. They want to put one foot in heaven and the other upon the earth. You see? So when we see what God was doing back then in the early church, and has already studied the first three chapters, we recognize that there was one person, one apostle, that was outstanding. And that was Peter. You always read, you mention Peter, and the next person that was mentioned was John. You don't hear about the other apostle mentioned until much, much later. And not everyone was mentioned. See, because God is using an individual. And the first individual that he used was Peter. And stood beside Peter was John. And then later on was James. You see, God could have, in this last 20 years, and he could have used all those men out there. All of the theologians born. Huh? And many more. But they were not comparable to William Graham. Do you understand what I mean? God had to use an individual so that people could hear the truth, the message. Brother Branham was not out there just to heal the sick and perform miracles. God wants you to catch your attention and then bring you back to the world. So now that is what we see in the book of Acts. So now when we see in the book of Acts, the last chapter 3, where we read in verse 15, the main part of it in this chapter is being emphasized is this particular three words in that verse. We are witnesses. Do you understand that? That is why the acts of the Holy Spirit was in these apostles. Peter said, we are witnesses. And find out for that God has to use them and to show signs and wonder. And to whom was the gospel first preached? It was to the Jews. That's not important that we look at the timeline, study the timeline, not jump over here and there, and then get all our timeline messed up, and putting the cart before the horse. It won't work that way. See?
So Peter said, we are witnesses. And then we read how the miracle happens and all of that thing. Now last week we finished about this verse, how that the denomination said that there are three things that are required for a person to be an apostle. And they put their rules and their regulations, just like they say there are rules and regulations in the interpretation of scripture. Take whatever is literal. Because they believe the word of God are all literal, except where they said when there is doubt, when there is some figure of speech. How do you know what is literal and what not literal? There's no such thing as a rule of thumbs. You know. Because the word of God is His word, His expression. So don't take word literally all the time. You need to understand within the context. I was telling the brother, and I said, you know, do you remember when Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have eternal life. The same thing, Brother Abraham said certain things like that, and you're like, an extreme behavior, a believer, was that exactly what Brother Abraham said, not considering that he was a prophet and he talks like a prophet. Huh. So what is eating my flesh and drinking my blood means? What does that mean? Huh? For my flesh is bread indeed, meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. For what is it? It's life. Nutrients. We eat food, right? To sustain this physical life. And the flesh of Christ is the food, and it is His word. For He was the word of God, made flesh, that was broken up for you and me. And you drink my blood, what is blood? Blood is the fountain of life. For the blood is life. Life is in the blood. We drink of the Spirit of the Lord, that's the fountain, the flowing fountain of the Spirit of life. Things like that are being expressed. But how many people know in the days when Jesus said, He said, yeah, that's what He said, He wants us to be cannibals or vampires or something like that. Yet we have a lot of people that think they know what they do not know. And it really sickened me, you know. Now, when we talk about this criteria last Sunday, the thing I want to emphasize is this. When people start to put requirements, rules and regulations, for example, you want to be a doctor, you need to have your minimum degree of MBBS. Yes. Then you can become a doctor. So you don't have that criteria of MBBS certificate, you cannot be a doctor. Same thing, you want to be a doctor of divinity? Huh? You know a doctor of divinity, right? I'm a doctor of divinity. So boy, can you, what do you have? You go to college? I mean, there's a titles and tech that people give and just to make something, you know. But Peter, I mean, he was a fisherman. What do you have? So they make the requirement that they must see the resurrection of Christ, must have a direct commission by Christ, and must be able to heal the sick that were brought before them. So what about a prophet? I mean, look at the Old Testament. Practically every prophet in the Old Testament performed miracles. Right? And yet John the Baptist came, he performed not even one miracle. Is that right? And you just can't call him saying he's the greatest of the prophets. Huh? And the people was wondering, he performed no miracle, and yet everything that he said was true. You see, it's not about miracle, it's about the truth. If William Branham came and he performed all those miracles, and his teaching is not in scripture, then he's not. He will be a false another one at the end time. He will be a false Christ. That's what we have today. Many are out there impersonating the thing that Branham was doing. using all the modern technology, huh? Receiver in the ears and all that. Peter Popov is one of them. And yet people are thinking those are real. Even if those things are real, if what they preach is not even in the Bible, it's fake. Huh. Would you rather have a man performing miracles or a man who preached the truth? John the Baptist was called the greatest of prophets, yet he made no miracle, yet his preaching was the truth. Right? A sister asked me yesterday, texted me a message and asked me, Brother Ken, you know, how do you answer this question? You know, there are people we've ministered to, their denomination, they heard about William Branham from the other group and so on and so forth. And they said, if you don't know William Branham, you cannot make the rapture. What? Do you need to know William Branham before you make the rapture? And that's the way he seemed to be preaching and hinting out there. And let me say this. William Branham was a type of Elijah. Wasn't that right? What about John the Baptist? Was it not sin? And both of them are found in the book of Malachi. Is that alright? Well, let me ask you this. In those days, there are so many people that knew John the Baptist. They knew John the Baptist, but they did not have the Holy Ghost baptism. Is that not true? Yeah. And yet those who do not know John the Baptist, and yet they have Holy Ghost baptism. Now I want you to think about this seriously, and if you are there, be any of those out there who listen to this message on the video or on audio, or to think about it. But you might say, well no, those group at met, you know, in Ephesus, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe, right? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They say, oh, we do not know so much about the Holy Ghost. We never know about it. We don't hear about it. What? We were baptized by John. But what did John say? What did John say? No, no. What did John say when he was baptizing people? He said, I did baptize you with water. But there comes one whose shoelace I'm not able to untie, unworthy to untie. He shall baptize you with what? With fire and spirit. The Spirit of God is the fire. But how can it? How is it that they do not know? How is it that they do not know? If you John, if you heard John preach, you would know that there is one who come after him to baptize you in fire, with fire. Right? So there's no excuse for that. He said, first of all, we don't need to know about John the Baptist. When you are living in the days of John the Baptist point you, not to himself, he point to Christ, the Word. Right? So after John the Baptist died, you already passed 5, 10 years, 20 years down the road, you still want to talk about John the Baptist? Did Paul ever preach about John the Baptist? Did Peter ever preach about John the Baptist? No. You move on with the move of God. God is alive. He's not dead. When you stay in darkness, when you stay in the system, you are dead. God is alive. And He's, what is the song we sing? God's alive. Leading the way. He's moving. God cannot be contained by the four walls and the roof and the closed door and closed windows. He moves. And if you don't move, you'll be left behind. That's why the children of Israel have to move with Joshua when Moses died. You have to move. But the denominations are such that they, you know, put their tenet of faith and their decree and all that doctrine that they make up. So that's why they say that the apostles must have done. But later, how many apostles were there? How many apostles were there in the beginning of the church and a couple of years down the road? How many of them before all of them died. The last person that died was the last of the original 12 that died was John the Baptist. John the Apostle. Right? How many apostles were there at that time in the first generation? Paul, who was not a part of the 12, died before John. So now what we have? Let us look. The number of apostles. Let us go to 1 Corinthians 4:9. For I think that God has set forth us. Paul is speaking of not only himself, but those that were with him. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to them. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angel, and to man. Who was with Paul? He always go out. Barnabas, Silas, Titus, Timothy. They were his associates, and include them all as apostles. Let us go on to the next verse. Romans chapter 16 verse 7. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsman and my fellow prisoner, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Hey, these people are apostles too. But they never saw the resurrected Christ. So how do you quantify, how do you characterize who an apostle really is? These people never see resurrected Christ. They never have a direct commission the way that because Christ was alive and give them as he gave to the 12 apostles. You know what I'm saying? And in fact, Matthias was chosen. Did Christ said to him, go forth into the world? Or did Jesus say, I only spoke to the 11? Remember Christ when he ascended into heaven, the only 11 of them, the rest of the disciples and the believers were not there. How do you categorize who is, who is not? What qualification is there? You know, sometimes tradition is so hard to break it down. When you are deep in tradition, it's so hard to break away from it. But I thank God when I came to the message, just the one statement of Brother Branham made caused me to get out of the denomination as fast as I can. Because the moment, the longer you stay there, you are not certain, because of your friend, your fellow believer in that system, you know, you love them, all these things, because you are socialized with them, you don't want to break out, you'll be trapped. That's why the Bible says, anyone who loves father, or mother, or brother and sister more than me is not worthy to be my disciple. You take up your cross and you follow me. Is that not? That's why Jesus Christ, when he dealt with Peter, the same. You follow me. What is that to you if John should tarry till I come? What is that to you? You follow me. Right? Hard, isn't it? I mean, we're here, we are learning the deeper things of God. We are not in the, not in Sunday school. Neither are we here in a denomination church where you sit for 40 minutes and learn the simple thing. God loves you, God bless you, God has full of mercy, God is full of grace. Right? God loves everyone, and all these things. And give unto God and God will bless you and give you more and stuff like that kind of teaching. Even Brother Andrew Peter had some in-depth teaching, simple statement that get people to understand it, to apply it. See? Alright, let's go to the next verse now. 1 Thessalonians. I want you to see it. By looking at these several verses, how many apostles there were at that time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus. Silvanus is Silas. It's an army. And Timothy. See. Unto the church of Thessalonica, which is in God the Father, And in the Lord Jesus Christ be grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the name here? Paul said, us, apostles. Everywhere the same, whatever epistle. To the Corinthians, to the Thessalonians, to the Galatians. That's, he mentioned them. Chapter 2, verse 6. There's still Thessalonians. Okay, the epistle. Same epistle. Now it's chapter 2, verse 6. Not a man sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome, as the apostles of Christ. Silas was an apostle. Timothy was an apostle. Titus, anyone. But what is an apostle then? That's why Paul told Titus, when you go to Crete, you set in order those things that are lacking. Set the things in order. Set the word of God in order. Set the church in order. The apostles' work is not just going out there and perform miracles. But the main thing is to preach the word of God and give the word of God to the people, the true word. Now, those people in Crete and all those in Asia Minor and Mediterranean region where Paul ministered the word, and there are little groups of believers here and there. They're not just saying, oh, we thank God that we have a Messiah, we have Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's it. No. They need to be stabilized. They need to have a foundation where they can grow thereby. You understand that? You see? Next, Galatians chapter 1, verse 19. Galatians chapter 1, verse 19. But other of the apostles saw I none, except James, the Lord's brother. So, Jesus Christ's half-brother, James, also was an apostle. And he was the elder, or the pastor, the overseer of the church in Jerusalem. He's not James, the brother of John. He is James, the brother of Jesus. The character said, no, how could Jesus have brother? Because Mary is immaculate, and after she was born, she got no more sex with Joseph. Really? And some were saying, oh, no, those children belong to Joseph by his first wife, and Mary was his second wife. Come on, you can all go and reason about it. There are all sorts of traditional view back then. Who started those traditional view? Why don't you just stick to the scripture? But wait a minute. Some people say, Brother Abraham said that too. I know that. It makes no difference. Brother Abraham many times quotes tradition, a lot of views. Many times even you hear what Brother Abraham preach, he said about Trinity. Yeah. And as one preacher used to say, when he realized what Brother Abraham was called to do, he said to Brother Abraham, when he stood in the pulpit and in the congregation, how many kinds of people are there? Brother Abraham said, how many types of believers in the congregation? How many? Three. Believer, unbeliever, and make believer. And the preacher was saying that Brother Abraham had to feed them all. People are here. I'm a make believer. So I take what I want. Yep. Isn't it? Suddenly, Jesus had to feed. Wow, when he was preaching out there in the hillside. How many thousand were there? 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, and so on, right? He preached to them. What did he preach? Did he preach in depth doctrine? No. He preached the truth to the people that they can see? No. He preached to them the truth hidden in parables, so that when they seeing and hearing, they hear not. And the disciples wondering, why did he preach parable to them? We don't even understand. And Jesus said, I preach in parable, so that the people in hearing
they hear not. Will fulfill the book of Isaiah, what Isaiah says.
Yeah. So simple, isn't it? So went forth to sow. Yeah, everybody knows that you sow seed, you know, you fall on good ground, you bring forth, it will spring up. You fall on the roadside, you will not. The bird come and pick it up and eat it. Obviously, I know that I'm a farmer, right? In hearing, you don't even know the truth. Huh? Many times, all the parable he preached. That's why I was challenging the brother. I talked to him. Look at Matthew 13. Problem never even touched on it. And Matthew 13 contains seven parables that correspond to the seven church ages. Beautiful, isn't it? Why? What is parable? What about a woman take a lamb or leaven, take some leaven and put in the lamb of dough and the whole thing with leaven, right? But what is that? What are you talking about, Jesus Lord? What are you talking about? I don't understand. Nobody understands that. And Jesus told the disciple, come, let me expound it to you. If you do not know parable, then you will not know any parable. Let me expound it. For unto you is let known the mysteries of God. Right? The truth of God is not to be scattered out. Like what the Bible says, do not cast forth before swine. True. Jesus did not cast forth before swine. There are so many thousands out there, they heard him preach. 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, and so on. 2,000 here and there, right? Everywhere he go, he went. To all of them believers, what are they there for? What are they there for? They heard about this man do miracles. Oh my, let's go. Hey, he preaches good. Well, we have been how many hours passed and we are hungry. And we have tasted of the bread, supernatural bread, fish. Multiply in the basket. And they are left over how many basket? 12 in the one time. I mean, 4 or 5, something like that. But you know, left over. Wow, that's a lot of fishes and bread left over from just a few. Next time, next week, they heard somebody say, hey, Jesus is going to that place. Really? Come, let's go. Let's go and see someone and let's go eat of that food. And they went. Well, were there for the word of God or were there for the miracle bread and miracle fish? Huh? Do you see the thing about it? So what do we want? The word or just some miracles? You see? So now let's go to the next verse. Acts 14:14. Acts 14:14. Which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out. Barnabas. Barnabas. Paul, for example, before he was an apostle, he was not an apostle. Except known of God from the foundation of the world. The Bible in Acts 13:13, if I believe correctly. Let's go to it anyway. Good and right. Yeah. Acts 13:1. Not 13:13. Verse 13:1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon they were called, Niger and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Who was this Saul? That was Paul. So Barnabas and Paul, originally they were prophets only. And I can tell you, when we are discussing, we are not going to discuss this with some of the believers in the entire message, they will not understand what he's talking about. What is Barnabas and Paul? Prophets. Huh? They were not prophets, but the Old Testament are prophets. The word prophet here, brethren, means preachers. But yet as preacher, they were the one that can prophesy. They were given this gift of prophecy. Do you understand? That's why we have the New Testament prophets, placed second after apostle. And but it was only at this time that God spoke, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have for them. And it was later on that you find that Paul became an apostle and Barnabas was also another apostle. So were there only 12 apostles? If you want to look at it very carefully throughout the Old Testament, I mean New Testament, there are at least 24 of them. They are called apostles. But the Acts of the Apostles begin with those original 12, and then more were added in for the ministry that they were sent out to do. And you find that as time passes on from the beginning of the Pentecost, days, weeks, months, years went by. The signs and wonders tapered off. Because God was sending out the truth, especially to Paul. Do you understand this? And we know that the ascension gift ministry, according to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, they were all for the perfecting of the saints, mainly. Not just for the work as well, but for the edifying of the body of Christ, right? And that chapter 4, verse 11 to 16, show us the importance of the fivefold ministry. And if those things that were listed in Ephesians 4, 11 to 16, it is, shows us that the church is not perfect yet, because we are still here. Because once the church is perfect, time for us will no more be. We will be taken out. We are here placed on the earth for the time and the season of our life. Those have lived before us and gone. They are still waiting for us. The Old Testament said they are still waiting for us. In the coming of the Lord, when we come together, then we are known and we shall be known. Alright, let's go to chapter 4 now. Acts chapter 4. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. Here you read only the Sadducees. What happened to the Pharisees? Who were these Sadducees? Actually, the Sadducees, you don't find them today. They died out. The Pharisees still do because of Judaism. Sadducees. They are a funny kind of people. Strange people, actually. They're religious, but kind of strange. They believe in God, but they don't believe in resurrection. Huh? They don't believe in angels. They don't believe in devil. They don't believe in heaven or hell sort of thing. What? Can you believe in something that you don't believe in? You believe in God and yet you don't believe in heaven. You believe in God, you don't believe in life after death. You believe in God and you don't believe in angels. What happened? And yet these are Sadducees people. These are people who are supposed to know the Old Testament too. And the Bible in the Old Testament talk about the angel of the Lord and so on, right? And yet they don't believe. They don't believe in the resurrection. And everybody knows that's why they are sad, you see. You know the puns, right? So remember that. It's very simple. So if people say, who are the Sadducees? I tell them, they don't believe in resurrection. That's what they are called Sadducees. And that's what they are. And you always remember that. You will never fail to know that. The Pharisees, they are something easy. They always look at the weather. Oh, the weather is red in the sky and lowering. Tomorrow is fair, I see. And that you always remember. And they always, the Pharisees, they look for signs. The Sadducees also look for sign. But here now, when the disciples speak unto the people, the priests were there, the priests. And who were the ones, who are these priests? The priests that were in charge of the temple, they were actually mainly the Sadducees. Huh? Okay. And then you have the captain of the temple that is the god of the temple. You know, it's just like if you go to Vatican City, you have the gods, right? Huh? Swiss god, yeah. So you know, well, it is all about your dress. That's why the Catholic system, they have the Pope dress in splendor. You know, now, this is part of religion. Every religion, in fact, they have certain dress code. But where did that come from? They are all traced back into the Old Testament, the early ancient time. What did it begin with? It didn't begin with God, actually. It began with Nimrods. All the religion back then. All you can say goes back to the time when Cain was the one who probably introduced all this pomposity, you know? Whereas Abel took the lamb and just slayed it and put it and burned it offered to God. But you know, Cain would have to arrange his vegetables, offering. Very nicely arranged. Just like nowadays you can see in some figure how that they worship their deity, they will arrange all the food very nicely, huh? What in God? You just lay the thing and you just put animal in a pot and put it. You know. Whereas in paganism, you arrange, especially the pig. You know, you kill the pig, you roast the pig, you must face a certain direction and then beside it and this and that, and the candles and joysticks and everything. And then you have your priests in ancient time, of course, dressed up. Because they want to separate the people from this so-called clergy or the priesthood. And it was because of this that later on, when God called Abraham out of the wood of Kaidi, of Mesopotamia, he already been grown, no, he has grown up, he lived there, and all the people practically were all pagans. And they have their own images, their ideas of what God looks like, and ideas of what is in heaven, and so on and so forth. And that's why, when Abraham was caught up, the only way that God could relate to him to understand is to take some of those imagery and show it to him. That's why he later on, the first thing that God did was what? At that time there was no priesthood, right? Abraham was alone. God talked to him. But now it's the only testing time come. Sacrifice your son, Isaac. Hey! Where did that come from? People said that sacrificing of the son was introduced by God. No. It was a hidden practice. And Abraham lived among those people that had sacrificed children. Yeah. They are the sacrificed children. Even to today, you can see that in some of those places in the Middle East, extremists sacrificed children. Perhaps not their son. They took somebody else. I remember back then when I was in the 50s, I was born 1948, in the 50s to the 60s, when we were living in, Singapore was not like this then, you know. It was a lot of little villages here and there too. Huh? And we were told, don't go out alone by yourself. Be very careful when you go. Because construction worker, when they build bridge, they would have taken children and cut off their head and put their head as a foundation for the bridge. Well, this has been going around for years. Some people say that's not true. But children have been missing. And that's why a lot of people are missing in the world, children, right? Why? What happened to them? They were used as sacrifice. Because of paganistic practice. Because their God demands the killing of children. Like even some fanatic in Singapore, some medium, they will deceive woman that you have a demon in you. Woman, and in order to get the demon out of you, you need to have sex with me. And the woman are just so blind to it. Think about it. So Abraham was used to it, sacrificing of children. But when God dealt with him, God said, now, sacrifice your son. What do you know? Abraham would say, well, okay. Those false God demands child sacrifice. So this Yahweh who called himself the true God also demands child sacrifice. Well, okay, I'll obey. But God was testing him. Because you see, he only see what was going on. That's how people go into religion. They see what was going on and they accept it. They go to a church where they practice the sign of the cross. They accept it. They do certain ritual. They just follow. Do they have a question? And you need to question. Question more. Who's the guy who said it on television? So, we need to question more of our faith. That is not why God said, come, let us reason together. We need to look at the Bible and see whether those things be so. That's what Paul said to know about the Berean. That these were wise in that they searched the scripture and found out those things that I have preached, whether they were true. See, when you follow a religion, don't just follow it as if it is true. Or just couldn't care less. Because my father do it, my grandfather do it, so I just believe it. I'm born a Buddhist, I follow Buddhist, I'm Catholic, I follow Catholic. I'm a Presbyterian, I follow Presbyterian. Don't be a follower of man, of tradition. Follow of truth. And that's why this is very hard. And here we have the Pharisees. And verse 2, being grieved that these people, the priest, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees, they were grieved that the disciple or the apostle taught the people and preached to Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Of course, that angers the Sadducees because they don't believe in the resurrection from the dead. Wow. Now, if the apostle was not talking about Jesus Christ, if the apostle and Jesus Christ was not related to the Old Testament book, like the Sadducees were, they probably wouldn't care less. They probably would care less about that. But because they were related, because they have a common interest about life. Huh? So the apostle was teaching the people about the resurrection from the dead, and the Sadducees, they were angry about it. And they lay hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now even time. So time is late, night time already. So keep them until the following day. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. But many of the people who heard the word preached by the apostles, they believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. And that's a lot of people. I mean, that's not just one day. They were going around day after day, and people believing, and these Sadducees, these priests, they don't like it. And they were not even performing signs. They believe that there's a resurrection. They believe that if the apostle Jesus Christ resurrected, and they were witness of it, they believe. No wonder Jesus Christ, when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying for the disciples, and he told the Lord, told his Father, he said, bless those who will believe the word that they preach. See what I mean? That's what the Bible about sincerity. There's an angel of the Lord told Brother Abraham, if you will be sincere and get the people to believe. And the disciples, the apostles, they were sincere. He said, we are witnesses, we saw all these things. And they preach and they preach about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who Jesus was. And the people know it's true. Because no man would stand up and preach like that, contrary to the system of that day, the Pharisees and Sadducees. No wonder when Brother Man was preaching so hard about the wonders of the Godhead, you know, and about Malachi. This was the thing that the denomination doesn't like. And that's why they call him a false prophet, this and that. They always be. The enemy doesn't come from outside. The enemy comes from within. And they're supposed to be the same people who are supposed to hold the Bible as the faith. But once you organize, you have this group, that group, that group, everything, every other one, religious kingdom of your own, building up your own, the Methodist build your own, the Presbyterian build your own, the Baptist build your own, and Episcopal and so on. And even that we have an entire message, we have all those that are building up their own. Do we have anything in common that we can talk about and share about? Or we just say, this is what we believe. This is what we believe. Be open-minded. Verse 5. And it came to pass on the morning, or the following day, that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas. Caiaphas was the father-in-law of Annas. Now, Annas now was the high priest now, in charge. But Caiaphas was still also a high priest, overlooking like a mentor. He was the one, Caiaphas was the one who judged Jesus Christ. Remember? So all this, and then you have John and Alexander. Well, these are names that we just mentioned here. But they were related to this priesthood. Like a Sanhedrin council. You know. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Well, they brought them. You know, that's kind of strange in those days. It's not like today, for example, if I preach anything that other denomination do not like you, they cannot summon me and arrest me and then put me to sit in their council and question me, huh? You know? In those days, it seems that religious party, as long as you are Jew, as long as you are preaching something that is not Jewish in belief, you are arrested and you are questioned. So by what by what power, by what name have you done this? That Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. Now Peter, you know, his boner that is the number one apostle. Always calling the big fisherman. Okay? The Alpha apostle. And he stood up and said to them, you rulers of peoples and elders of Israel. You rulers of people, I'm not talking about the Romans ruling over them, these are rulers of the people, the religious ruler, okay, and the elders of Israel, the older guy, those who are supposed to know. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the important man, by what means he is made whole, be known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Christ, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him do this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Now the question goes back to the man who was at the temple, beautiful gate, that was raised up. And he was dancing and walking. No, man, he was a cripple for how many years? 40, I think. Huh? That was a long time. Muscle waste away. All of a sudden, he thought, no, he can walk. Air. He can run. He can jump. I mean, anybody who has known that man, that's a fantastic miracle. The first time down in history, right? But after that, you can not see much of this thing happen. Even today, that's what Bob Graham said. How can we be raptured if we don't even have rapture? We don't even have faith people for the healing. What has gone wrong? Not because God didn't give us faith. It's many times we are looking so much on dependence on doctors and medicine that we just cannot look to Christ first. You know, Bob Graham's faith is so simple. He said, he didn't even tell the people to throw away the medication. Huh? Remember that. He never tell people that you have faith, throw away the medication. He never tell them that. Take your medication. It's not the medicine that heals you, it's God that heals you. Medicine is just the best of what they have discovered on the herbs of the field. They copied what's out there in the herbs of the field, only that they make it all synthetic and chemicals and that's it. That's about it. It's got to heal. So, Peter stood up and said, if you examine us of this deed, by what means that he was made whole, I want you to know that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, they always mention this one, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this man of whom this same Jesus whom you crucified. And everybody knows Jesus of Nazareth when you always talk about in those days. Have you heard about Jesus of Nazareth? He's going to preach the old Jesus of Nazareth. But you say, you know Jesus? You say, which one? Because there are many Jesus. It's a common name. Whom you crucified. This is the one that you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. And by him, this man stand here before you whole. Now, Jesus Christ is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. You are the builders. You are supposed to be the religious leader. The elders supposed to know how to build the people of Israel up towards godliness and the love of God, the truth. You are supposed to know. You are the builders. But you are rejecting it. You take this stone that God has given. You make it a zero. You set it at naught. You say, that's useless. That is nothing. Yeah? And Peter was the one who wrote his epistle, remember? That we are all lively stone. Right? Yeah. You see? And the crown was the capstone. Remember? And Peter knew all about the importance of this stone, quoting from the Old Testament. How the prophet said, I have said in Zion a stumbling stone. Right. And many people stumble over it. You know what a stumbling stone is, huh? Have you ever walked down the road? I mean, all your life, at least I believe that you have kicked some or trip over some stone, right? And you stumble. And you turn around, you probably score the stone. Or maybe you get angry and you smash it up or something. You see? Because you just got upset with the stone that tripped you. And so Christ was a stumbling stone to this elder, the religious leader. To them, says, this is terrible. This is not, this is just a mess. It just, you cause us pain. So they rejected it. But God made him the head of the corner, which has become the head of the corner. Let's go to the book of Psalms 118, verse 22. Psalms 118, verse 22. As I said, if you do not know where Psalm is, put your Bible together and put your finger right in the middle of your book and you open it up, you get some scripture. Alright, Psalms 118 and verse 22. Brother Henry.
The stone which the builders refused is become the head stone of the corner.
Isaiah 28, 16. Isaiah 28, 16. Now look.
Therefore, thus said the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. A sure foundation, he that
believeth
shall not remain
peace. That's a sure foundation stone, you know, for me. Because of the whole, without Christ, what is a foundation? What is a foundation in life? What is a foundation in life? Money? Career? What is the foundation in your life? It should be this one. The Word of God. The foundation stone. That's Christ. That's a foundation. Without that, you don't have the direction of life. Some people, my direction, well, you know, when they are young, a lot of young people, I know the Singapore, some young people have become millionaire. Fantastic. They really have all this drive to do whatever, you know. And even just like that, I think he's a Middle Eastern man, I can't remember his name now, and he turned away from his good paying job to do vlogger. He got vlogger, video, you know. And he came to Singapore, remember, he made a show about Singapore and every country where he goes. Wow, he's a millionaire politically. And he enjoys life some more. Go all over the world and make film and make 1 minute video and make money. Yep. So, what's the drive? What is the foundation? Is that your foundation? Do you know where you come from? And where you're going? That the Sadducees are going to be like Sadducees. Well, when I die, that's it. I just die. It'd be nice when you die and then you don't wake up. Forever, you don't know anything. You don't know nothing because you know more you. No more you. It'd be nice, isn't it? But everybody got to stand before God to be a given to give an account. Huh? But I wouldn't say this like the Catholic Church started it all. The hell is eternal. And then before you go to hell, you go to purgatory. And you suffer and you yell. Oh no, God's not like that. Huh. So only your conscience when you die, you have your soul, your spirit. You are in the dimension where your mind is. You are thinking about your past, about the things you do on this earth. And then you came out, you will come out with your body. And then you'll be judged. And then you will cast into the lake of fire and burn up. And then you'll no more, forever, no more in existence. But you know what life is all about? God is life. Life is good. Even life is painful at times, sorrows, affliction, disease. Life is good. But that's what God is. We may be here for, I'm 70 years now. Maybe I'll go to 80. For now, 10 more years, which is pretty fast. Because coming January again, I'll be 71. And each day passes very fast. Huh? 1 hour, 60 minutes, right? 1 day, how many minutes? How many seconds? There was one to think about, how many seconds in a day? How do you spend your second? And the second is ticking away. Tick, 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 tick. What do you do with your life? See? To me, oh, it's a wonderment. Just to know, to be alive. To know God. Yep. And verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none. There's no salvation in anyone else except Jesus Christ. Other name under heaven, there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Wow, why did they take them like that? They were unlearned and ignorant. Hey, Peter may be not educated by Gamaliel, no, taught by Gamaliel, but he knew how to fish. Right? I mean, as long as you know how to fish, you can have a living. You are always a food. But you don't know how to fish, and you are unlearned, you don't even know how to farm, you know nothing, you know no trade, then you will die. So what do you call it? What do you mean by unlearned men? Well, maybe these religious people think that they were unlearned religiously because they didn't go to Bible school. You know? Or they were not as religious as them. You know, sometimes when I attend, you know, like you go to the cremation and you see this priest there with all their dress and all, you know, or even to stand beside Presbyterian or the Methodist priest where they have this collar turned inside out, you know. You know, their collar turned inside out. And to just stand with them, wow, these people are so educated.
so learned.
You know what I mean? Because of their way they dress. Or you see a man coming out and dressing one with a cross in front of them, a big one. So you stand beside them, oh my. You know, if I were to stand beside them and other people are looking at it and say, who's the guy standing beside the learned man in white? You see the perception that people have. That as long as you are religious, oh my, we're dressed up in like that. You must be somebody God loves. But you know, that's where one of the problem. It's just when Jesus Christ was being judged. How Caiaphas acted, how the religious leader acted, not knowing that they were condemning and judging the Son of God. Don't let your eye deceive you by the outward appearance of man. Oh. Right, let's go on. Now, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Oh, they were unlearned. Wait a minute. They were unlearned one thing, but they were with Jesus. So they now begin to think a little bit, huh? Sometimes we need to. They were with Jesus. And I think the denomination should be careful when they talk about Brother Branham being a false prophet and this and that. Because of the thing that happened in his life. You've got to think about it. Not just the miracle they perform, but the word he preached, just think about it. This man, William Graham, had how many years education? I think it's 4. If I'm not mistaken, I don't know, America is called 4th grade, right? Is that correct, Sister Cora? In the Philippines, you call 1 year is 1 grade, 4 year 4th grade. The 4th grade. Yeah. If I remember, that's what Brother Graham is, it's only 4th grade. But well, how come he knows so much? Same thing. Peter and John, they were alone. They were ignorant. But how did they know? Because they were with Jesus. So if you want to know more about the truth, be with Jesus, the Word of God. Be with the Word. Not with the tradition, not with the tenet of faith, not with the courts of Brother Brent or the courts of John Wesley. The brother asked me, text me, said, Brother, can you sit? You sit wrong to quote Brother Brown. I said, no. You can quote anybody, Brother Brown, or even the Pope. But it's the incessant quoting of Brother Brown, making it absolute, that's where things happen. That is completely wrong. It causes a mess. You understand? Or you can quote the Pope. I can say amen to what the Pope said when he said Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen, right? That's not wrong. But he said, Hail Mary. Oh, Mary is the Mother of God. I said, no! That verse, or that phrase, whatever you say that Jesus, that Mary is the Mother of God, is from hell. God has no mother. And they were trying to give you the reason. But Jesus was born of Mary. Jesus was God. So Mary must be, being the mother of Jesus, must be mother of God then. What is this? Huh? A equals to 1. And C equals to 2. D equals to 2. So C equals to D. Okay, I understand that. But you cannot equate all these equations, huh? Like they have in Trinity, 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals to 1. I think the children will be confused. Then they're changing 1 times 1 times 1 is 1. Of course. 1 times 1 times 1 because of Trinity. You get 1. Still 1 God. 1 times 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 1. You still be 1. That's the kind of silly formula that people give. The Bible cannot be interpreted by all this education. And what about Abraham said, education is of the devil. You try to bring education into the Word of God. That because you are educated, you think you can interpret the Word of God? Huh. I never go to Bible school. Yeah, I have a little Bible college. I mean, not Bible college, part-time Bible study. study anyway, with a teacher from New Zealand. Yeah, he was showing him, I just want to learn something when I was in denomination. And he was thinking something that helped me understand about typology. He was later when I began to study more about typology, when I heard about Brother Bram, the way he preached, I know how important typology was. And I said, this is a man who knew typology so well. You see, it's not about going to get a degree or something. Oh my. Thank God for it. All right, let's continue now. Verse 14. And beholding the man which were healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Of course, how can you say anything else? He was there, you know, this man was standing there, he was healed. Everybody knew that this guy was crippled. Perhaps he was standing beside Jesus, he was probably doing this. You know, what can you say? The man is dancing for joy. You want to say, what do you want to say against Peter and John? Or about Jesus? You can't. And Peter said it was because of Jesus, because by Jesus, this man was healed. Huh. And verse 15, when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. So while they told Peter and John to get out, why the council started to discuss among themselves. And they said among themselves, what shall we do with this man? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them. It's manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Particularly the whole of Jerusalem here in this case. They were not about it. Everyone, not only from Jerusalem, all the way out, the news was spread. That's why the gospel began in Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria. What did the gospel preach by Peter and John out there in Galilee, somewhere in Nazareth? Why? Because Jerusalem was a chief city. It's called the city of God. Remember? This is where it started. And Jerusalem is where Abraham was supposed to sacrifice Isaac. The same Mount Zion. Oh my. On the top of Mount Zion is a city. And you with the glory that shine forth, right? You see that. And I will look for his beauty in the morning. One of these days. What can you say? Everything is happening in Jerusalem. The whole world's attention today. Well, people are looking at Donald Trump. Well, let them know Donald Trump. I'm looking at Israel. I'm looking at Jerusalem. There's a lot of stirring going on right there now. Huh? They're blaming it on the problem, you know, blaming it on always on Israel, blaming it on Jerusalem problem. Yes. There will be no rest until Christ comes. Right, let's go on. Verse 17. And he spread north. But then he spread no further among the people. Let us strictly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in his name. Wow. Let the news spread no further. So we threaten them. Of course, that's what the religion do. They always threaten. I have been threatened here in Singapore twice. And I was caught up by the CID. Wow. You know, religious people, they use the law. If they cannot get at you, they use the law. The religious people, they cannot crucify Christ. They could not crucify Christ. So what did they do? Start a problem and give it to the Romans. Pontius Pilate was filled with what? Your religious problem, now you bring this man into my hand to judge him. And after judging, I find no fault in him. You try and crucify him. All the people get angry. So what do you want me to do? Give us Barabbas! 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 Barabbas was a criminal. He was a rebel. Wow. So, Barnabas had to satisfy the crowd. Give them Barabbas. And you do with Christ whatever you want to do. Are you guilty? Yeah, he's guilty then. But his blood is not on my hand. Him washing his hand, remove the blood from his. He has the power to release him, right? Jehovah and ask Jessica, are you king? Jessica said, I am, but I'm not king of this world. If I'm the king now of this world, my people, they will fight. But I'm not. Did he recognize who Christ was? Of course, no. Think about it, huh? All right, next. And they called the apostles and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That's why I said we are witnesses. And they are so bold. I mean, this is impossible for man to be a witness of something if there is no power given within him. Because he's going to face certain death. So sometimes you can see a lot of accidents. A lot of people, they saw the thing happen, they don't want to be involved. Because they're coward. Because they fear there might be gangster behind that. If you bear witness, they'll come after you and kill you. Oh yeah. It's a lot of fear people do. If you have fear as a Christian, where is your faith anyway? If you saw everything is fear, then what? My own business! Everybody mind their own business. So you see trouble is going on now that you cannot do something to help. My own business. You see all men fall down. And nobody is around. My own business, because if you go there, yeah, if I go to help this old man, somebody come along and say, I push this old man down. Or if this old man is dementia, get up. Oh yeah, he pushed me down. And then what? So my own business. I work in mental hospital many times. I don't mind my own business because I see things happening there. And those people are so scared. I told them, it's the truth. I said, no, we don't want to get into trouble. Too much problem. Oh boy. And even doctors. Because he's a senior nurse in charge. He told the doctor said, okay, just keep everything under wrap. Since you already fought, I died. That's it. Why are people so afraid of the truth? Because it inconvenienced me. Because one day, when you had a fall out there, and nobody wanted to help you, what then? Gee, some people are really selfish in this world. Let's go on. Verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how that they might punish them because of the people. For all people glorify God for their which they have done. So now they lie low a little bit. So because the people are knowing what the person had done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was shown. And being like God, they went to their own company. So now the apostles went back to their own company, their own people, and report all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard it, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them is. So they went back to all the disciples and believers and they rejoiced. Who by the mouth of thy servant David have said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And I think that's a problem. Why do the people, what do you imagine vain things? That's why sometimes we imagine a lot of things. If this, what happened, this, so my own business. You start to imagine all that thing. Have you ever done that? Huh?
The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. So our truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatening, and grant unto thy servants that all boldness, that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonder may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. Alright, interesting. The word translation child is not a good translation. Huh? Yeah. I don't know what other translation you have.
Servant.
The word here, child, is from the Greek word pais, which means to say that it could be translated as a child, a servant, slave, minister. It is actually the word pais means someone that you can punch in. You know, in those days, someone, like today, sometimes you can read in the news report about how people mistreat their mate. Someone who is vulnerable, like a kid, is vulnerable, you can bully. Like a servant, you can bully. The pais. So, thy holy child, thy holy servant, or thy holy minister, Jesus, should be able to translate the word. Alright? The word pais doesn't mean a child. It actually means somebody who is vulnerable. Somebody who could be a servant. Somebody who is learning or guiding. Alright. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they speak with other tongues. No. But see, when they feel the Holy Ghost, they didn't speak other tongues, right? So if those tongue speakers say that, well, I don't know whether they're exempt, but still believe in that. Because they have changed over the years. Those days that they must speak in tongues, that is the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. If you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the evidence. That's the initial evidence, you must speak in tongues. And that's not true. So they all feel the Holy Ghost and they speak the word of God with boldness. So when you have the Holy Ghost, you must be able to speak the word in boldness and in truth. Because what the Bible said, what Jesus said, or whatever was recorded in the book of John when Jesus was praying, or when he was telling the disciple, said, when the Holy Ghost is come upon you, he shall guide you and lead you into all truth and show you things to come. Jesus did not say, when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, you speak with other tongues. No, he didn't say that. It's all about the Holy Spirit coming in to guide the people in truth, to guide the people in life. Right. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither say any of them that aught of the thing which they possessed was his, but they had all things common. What is that? Okay, let me read the rest of it. And with great power give the apostles witness of resurrection of Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices of the thing that was sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostle was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Wow! Gee! Man, look at that! How many thousands of believers there? And those who are rich! Of course, the Bible says they sold land, but doesn't mean everyone, huh? It's only those that were rich. Millionaire, maybe, I don't know. They have this estate there, one house, Hong Kong, in China, in
America and this and that. Well, you sell it off. Because there are those out there who are poor, who lack food, who lack proper clothing, perhaps. They sold it and they laid on the apostles' feet. Barnabas was the one that set the example. And think about it. So is this communistic? Or is it communalism? No, not at all. What is it all about? It's all about brotherly love and care and concern. Why do we send clothing over to help others? Why do we help others the best we can for this little fellowship? All these years. I mean, you should look at even for just a small fellowship. You could see the amount of money we help send out and help people. Huh? You see, the Bible actually said in verse 32, they that believe were of one 32, look at 32, verse 32, of one heart and one soul. Huh? And they have all things common. All things common means that they have a common understanding of love. You see, somebody needs it, somebody needs help. Yes, if we can, we offer the help. Just for praying for us, saying that don't depend on Brother Gunn alone. Do you know I was so stretched out the last few days because the email that came in, Brother Gunn, please send some money. I'm important. I'm in hospital. This, please, the police has come and arrest me. Please send money. Wow. You know what? Already under tension. But the affliction that I had years ago, with my skin from polyps because of some chemical that gets into my foot and it breaks out all this, and this polyp is incurable. It starts to blow up again. When you're under stress, it blows up. All over, my skin starts to have blisters and it's painful. You're touching water, it starts painful. You know, when under stress, that's why my body has been under stress all these many years. I keep it under control the best I can. I try to ignore it and just be joyful and just be of mind, just not to worry too much about this thing. So, you know, if I'm the only one there holding all the responsibility when things that could be helped by others, body of Christ should do all the best that they can. And Barnabas set the example. I mean, he's rich. He sold the land, he sold the home, whatever he don't need, and put all that before the apostle. So that they could take those things, that money, and give it to those poor, those who have need, all those that have need to help them. It's important. That's very important. Because you see, the family of God is not just me alone. The family of God is made up of sons and daughters of Christ. But I always say this, you may be limp, tongue, gone, maiden, D'Souza, whatever your last name may be, your family name may be, you're only related to your physical ancestor on this world, right? And once they're gone, you don't see them anymore. And if they are not believers, you don't see them anymore. But as a Christian, we are related to one another because we have one surname. We have the name of Christ in us. Right? Remember. And in fact, the name of Christ is not, you know, we always said about the last name. Is it alright? I mean, that's American or Western. Last name. First name, last name. John, first name. John, last name, right? But in Chinese, our first name is our last name to the American. That's why I don't put my name Gan Liang Seng, because they call me Mr. Seng. That's why back then I took the name Richard, because I was fascinated with Richard the Lionheart. You know? So what do we have? As Christian, what is our surname? Our surname is there in the first place. Like in Asia, right? Your first name, your surname is always the front. So what is our name? Christ. With an I-A-N. At the back. The family name, our family name is Christ. And all have the same name, huh? With I-A-N. Christian. Christ, you know, nobody makes me and you somebody. A son of God, a child of God. Do you understand? And that's why we are more important than your brothers and sisters as far as God is concerned. And remember one thing, I should say this, we know in the Bible, God has no grandson. He has no grandson. Right? Because in heaven, in those in the day to come, my son will call me brother. I will call him brother. Huh? If Adam come to the salvation of the Lord and he grow up to know it, he will be my brother. Strange, isn't it? And he will call me brother. He will not call me grandpa anymore. See, God has only grands, has only sons and daughters, no grandchildren. May God help us all. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for that word of truth, Lord, and thank you for that grace. Bless the word, O Lord, and as much as we understand, O Lord, what you have given to us, Father, that we grow in thy grace and be more fruitful. For what we receive, the more that we receive of you, the more that it is recorded of us. That we apply, O Father, what we have learned from you, the word that you granted us, O Father, to be showing forth the image of Christ, the love of Christ in our life. So we commit the rest of this day to you now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.